If you say the life of the Prophet ﷺ, and not only that, but every single prophet that came in the past, there was one job they all had, and they were what? They were shepherds. And if you say the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, there are many ulama and shuyukh that explain that why were they shepherds? There's a reason why every single prophet was a shepherd. Why? Because being a shepherd builds up responsibility within you. You have to wake up early in the morning. Being a shepherd means that you have to be very patient. Being a shepherd means that you have to protect your flock from the wild animals. So it builds up bravery in you. Being a shepherd means that when the animals are doing, and you cannot even communicate with animals, but whatever the animals are doing, you're building up, you know, resistance, and you're building up patience. Something that every single prophet needed. You're building up the understanding of cleaning, because you have to keep on cleaning the place over and over again. This idea of responsibility and cleanliness and so forth. So there are so many things, so many characteristics that are built up within a prophet when they are a shepherd. And all these characteristics become manifest later on in their life. The reason why I'm sharing this is because that this is what we learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you study the life of the Prophet alaihi wasallam, you also understand that he grew up in the house of Abu Talib. Abu Talib was not a very rich person. In fact, if you say all the children of Abdul Muttalib, it is mentioned, because once again, this is not the time and the era of Islam. We're talking about before the era of Islam. So at that time, it is mentioned in some books of seerah that when Abdul Muttalib passed away, majority of his mirath and his inheritance was not given, a very small portion of that. And in fact, none of it was given to Abu Talib, but rather it was given to all the other children of Abdul Muttalib. Why? Because Abu Talib was already married. Abu Talib already had children. Abu Talib already had a household. So the money was given to those who did not even have even a wife at that time. They never had a family. Logically, you know, you make sense how things were at that time. So Abu Talib was a very poor man. And the Prophet ﷺ grew up in that same household. But never once did the Prophet ﷺ ever complain to his uncle. Never once did he object to his uncle. Never once did he go to his other uncles and say, you know, I'm living with an uncle that is in a state of poverty. I want to go and live with some other uncle. He always remained patient. And he grew up in a way where he learned how to build himself up, where he learned how to do hard work. And he got to the point that where at the age of around 22, 23, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became an international, not even a national, an international businessman. I mean, you have to think about the confidence that you require in order to go and talk to people internationally, because there was always a language barrier. There was always a cultural barrier. You know, there were so many other challenges, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became an expert in international business. So the question is that the Prophet ﷺ, he grew up, and at the age of 25, he had all this, you know, he had all these accomplishments at that time, all these achievements at that time. Now, let's come forward all the way to the time of majority of you who are sitting here in this crowd. When you came here to this country, how difficult it was. There were no masajid. Finding one masjid, you had to drive 20, 30 miles to get to one masjid. To get to one halal supermarket, you had to drive for around 10, 15, sometimes even half an hour. And I remember back in the day, especially for the families that are very strict on zabiha and non-zabiha, they would have to go to even further places and go and cut their own chickens just so that they can have food for themselves. Things were difficult. And then not only that, but you had to earn your money, send your money overseas, and even pay Uncle Sam at the same time. But you know what that did with majority of you, with the majority of our adults who are sitting here in this crowd, and majority of the adults who were immigrants to this country? It made you strong. It built you up. You don't get rattled by the small things in life. Even if there's a setback in life, you know how to handle it. You are strong. The reason why I'm saying all this is because when it comes to the current generation, we are raising the current generation the complete opposite. Wallahi, the complete opposite. We went, you know, the adults over here, I was born here in this country. I was born and raised in this country. But majority of the adults who came here to this country, you went through that difficulty. And you know how strong it made you. Yet instead of teaching your own children how to, you know, putting them in a difficult situation or putting them, making them strong, we're doing the complete opposite. We're making our children so soft. We're making our children, you know, giving our children every single thing that they want in life. This is not going to make them strong. And this is why, subhanAllah, I'm just being very honest here when I say this. Our children have, what do they not have in their life? If I ask you, what do they not have in their life? I mean, homework was a problem. Now you have all these AI and ChatGPT and so forth. You know, now they don't even put their time into their homework and putting time into the essays. Okay. And at the end of all this, at the time of their graduation, khalas, give them a Tesla, give them a car, a brand new car and so forth. And not letting our children go through some difficulty. I'm not saying, I want you to understand what I'm not saying that put unnecessary difficulty upon them. But let them make it for themselves. Let them go out and work hard. Let them pay their own bills. If they can get a job, they can get on their two feet. And even I say this, if they have to even go and flip hamburgers, let them go and do it. If they need to go and drive an Uber, let them go and do it. But what's happening is that when we give our kids over and over and over again, what's happening is that they have no understanding of working hard. They have no understanding of difficulties in their life. And what happens is the slightest difficulty, khalas, anxiety, I need to go to see a mental health professional. Okay? A simple problem in life, depression. I mean, sometimes you talk, I mean, I'm always there for the youth. My doors are always open. But sometimes when you sit down with them, and they say, yeah, this is such a small issue, okay, and I'm going through a major depression. I mean, Habibi, you know, this is not a depression. This is you just not knowing how to handle your situation. That's all it is. It's a small issue, which has then, turned into many divorces. Small issues in families, khalas, let's head straight to the exit door. Small issues, small conflicts, let's head to the straight to the exit door. Whereas majority of our immigrant community, how many problems do they not have? They have so many problems too. You think they did not have mother-in-law problems? You think they did not have brother-in-law problems, sister-in-law problems? They had all these issues. But the point is that we keep on giving over and over again. And this is why, by the way, there is a reference in the Quran about this too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أموالكم التي جعل الله لكم قياما وارزقوهم فيها واكسوهم فيها وقولوا لهم قولا معروفا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a balance. He says, do not give your money to someone who is immature. Okay? The word as-sufaha can be translated in many different ways. We're going to translate it here as immature. Do not give your money to someone who is immature. لَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. The same money, Allah is saying, you can use it for your own benefit. You can use it to take care of yourselves. The same money, do not give it to them because they are immature about it. لَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا وَارْزُقُوهُمْ. However, you continue to provide to them. وَارْزُقُوهُمْ. Give them rizq. وَكْسُوهُمْ. And keep on clothing them. وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. And keep on saying something that is right. And then he says, وَبْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحِ. So a long time ago, what would happen is, if there was an orphan, and the orphan was in the company or staying under the guardianship of a particular adult, then the Quran is saying that when that orphan comes under your guardianship, and he comes with his wealth or her wealth, you're not allowed to use that wealth unless you are poor and you're taking care of that child. You need some money to take care of that child. But the Quran is saying, do not use that yatim, that orphan's money. Do not use it. Additionally, the Quran says that you observe. فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ. Look at the words of the Quran, subhanAllah, beautiful. He says, جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ. فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا. If they get to the point of rushd, Just like Al-Khulafa'ur Rashidun. Why Rushd? Because Rashid, a person who's Rashid, he understands, she understands the situation. They know how to make the right decisions in their life. They're intellectual that they know the situation. The Sahaba, the Khulafa Rashidun, what was one thing that was beautiful about them? They knew the right decisions to make at the right time. It was not one decision every single time. They will study the situation and then they will make the decision accordingly. So the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when you see that maturity within them, then you give them the money. You don't go and give them a phone just because they turn 12 years old. You don't give them a phone just because they turn 14 years old. Yes, there are times where then they need to stay in touch with you. They're going to college. They're going to other places. Khalas, give them the phone. Buy them a phone. But perhaps you don't have to buy them the latest iPhone. Give them a flip phone. Khalas, you want to text me, right? You love me as a father, okay? You want to text me so bad? I'll give you a flip phone. You understand? Give them a flip phone if they need. But we need to make sure that our children are taught how to be, you know, how to be responsible for themselves. How often do we see that parents spoiling their children, giving them whatever they want? And this is why, I'll be honest with you, this is why a lot of the men also, they're so connected with their parents that they cannot be separated from their parents. And hence then you have issues even when you have men growing up 20 years old, 25 years old, yet they cannot make a single decision in their life without the input of their father and without the input of their mother. And there are some who are so connected that they will not do anything. They will not even make a single decision in their life without their parents' approval. And so when they get married, and the wife sees that my husband is so connected and he's not even like a true man. Why? Because he cannot make any decision in life and he does not care about my opinion, but he only cares about the opinion of the parents. You see, it's a domino effect. It's a domino effect. It all started from some place, the way they were raised and so forth. So I'm going to finish on this. The point is, brothers and sisters, is that as they say, you know, as they say in English, and I might butcher this, tough times make strong men. Strong men create good times. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. It's a domino effect. And we're literally going down the same trajectory. Let's not do that. Let's teach our kids how to be responsible in their life. Let's teach our kids how to be strong in life. Give your kids their responsibility. I tell my own kids, you don't know how to do anything? Go search it up. What's not on YouTube nowadays? What's not on YouTube nowadays? Go figure out for yourself. When you have hit the brick wall, then you come to me and I will help you out. But first, figure it out for yourself. But they come to Baba, Mama. No, don't worry, man, Berta, I'll do it for you. Okay? Everything in life, I'll do for you. Don't worry. And khalas, then they become weak men. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I'm saying this because I care. And I see, when you see the youth, the way they are going forward, they're moving forward, later on they may get that understanding. When they're probably 30 years old. But why at 30 years old? At that time, they're supposed to have 2-3 children by then, honestly. You understand? And just at that time, they're just thinking about, oh, now we need to get married and so forth. This is the situation that we're living in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala build our young men. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to help grow, you know, to help give tarbiyah to our children in the right way. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give our children the ability to remain on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ameen.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيراً والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.